You cannot go wrong worshiping God. The more you sow in the Spirit, the more you change. You know, so many times people still don't get it. I mean, think about all the songs we used to sing. All the demonic songs. And now it's time to sing the light of the glory of God, the victory of Jesus, and bring forth the anointing by what you sow in the Spirit, reaping life. Amen. Worshiping the Lord is the number one key of victory. If you can't, what does the Bible say? The Bible says this: the Father looks for those who worship Him in truth and spirit. You want Daddy to look for you? You know, the word says, seek my face, right? Well, you become a worshiper, God seeks you. Hallelujah. And people wonder why they're going through so much stuff. Struggling here, there, and wherever. Lack of God's presence. That's the answer to everything. The lack of God's presence. Why are you still doing what you're doing? Lack of God's presence. Why have you changed yet? Lack of God's presence. Why do people argue and fight and so forth? Lack of God's presence. Because in God's presence, there's peace, joy, and righteousness. There's His love. There is no battle in His presence because His presence wins every battle. Well, I'd go on for days. It's His presence that changes me and you. And it's His presence that maintains our change. And when we don't maintain the presence, we don't maintain the change. Amen? That's it. All right, everybody can go home. That's the answer to everything. Well, I mean, that's reality. Why? Because God's presence restores our true reality, restores your true identity, brings to remembrance of who you are. Without His presence, we drift, fade, and begin to go backwards instead of forward. So the enemy will do everything he can to get you out of God's presence. He'll give you every excuse possible. I don't feel right. I got a headache. I got a toe ache. Whatever it may be. He gives you every excuse to not getting God's presence. You know, I got a quick little story here. I had hurt my back so badly. And I don't know where my wife was at. I don't even know if she was here yet. I don't even think she was restored yet. And I was hurting badly in my back. And I said, Lord, and I was supposed to be at Bible study that night. I said, Papa, bring me to a place of your presence where it's just your presence. And I drove past the church I was supposed to go to. And I went to this other church, and they began to praise and worship, and the pastor got up and said, we're not going to do any Bible study tonight. The Lord told me we're going to praise and bring God's presence in here. I said, thank you, Jesus. Man, I got healed and freed up. I was looking for His presence. I know that in His presence is healing. I know that in His presence there's deliverance. I know. There's got to be a level of His presence to change things. And there's got to be a level in your heart where you're willing to step through those areas. The woman with the issue of blood didn't wait for Jesus. She sought Him. And then she crawled on her hands and knees, and she knew that she'd get healed by touching His presence. But we drift so easily here because there's so many other things that are available in replace of God's presence. What I'm about to say, don't get goofy. People replace God's presence with medication. And I'm not against medication. You know, sometimes I might take an Advil or two. I thank God for that Advil. But then there's sometimes I know I don't need to. Because even God will use the medical field to bring healing. I've been healed many, many times through multiple ways. But it's always Him that brings the healing. Medication doesn't bring the healings. My supplements don't bring healings. But I pray and anoint them so that when I take them, there's a point of contact. Amen. And I ask that the Lord anoint them to bring health and healing and strength and clarity. Even in the food I eat. Why? Because your mouth has the power of life and death, your tongue. What you speak to those things changes them. But we got to have the faith to remember these. We can't allow these emotions to constantly mislead us. We can't allow fear to dismantle us. And we can't allow what we feel like change things. Amen. Would you turn to the 1 Peter chapter 5? Oh, happy days. It was a release of prophetic insight for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Today we're going to talk about battling the past. Every one of us battles the past. It's a constant battle, no matter what. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, let's speak it together. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders, those that are more mature. Amen. It doesn't mean age. Because there are people that are older in age and are less mature than the other ones that are younger. And the Bible even says even the young ones will lead the old. So it's not, God does not look at age. Everyone say that with me. God does not look at age. So stop looking at your own age. Hello? I'm going to stay 33 no matter what anybody says. Hallelujah. My wife will testify to that. I still don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. Glory to God. Likewise, you younger people, submit to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. In other words, respect one another. For God resists the what? Proud, but gives grace to the humble. In other words, He gives more plan of escape to those who are humble because He knows that it won't puff them up. It will keep them humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. In other words, He's going to do it if you don't give up. Here's the verse that's so powerful, verse 7. Now, verse 7 means what? Complete and perfect. Hello. You want to complete this then? Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Your past, your present, and your future cares. What's He trying to do? He's trying to tell us, okay, will you get rid of it? What can you do that I can't, He says. Amen? I mean, there's so many things that we feel we need to take care of. Oh, snap. Some of us need to get our hands slapped. I remember the Lord telling me, get your little paws out of that. I'm all right, Dad. My little paws. I remember sitting on my couch one day trying to figure out something. All of a sudden, I saw the Lord reveal himself at the end of the couch, and he looked, his leg was crossed, and he was looking at me. He said, "Guy, what can you do that I can't?" I said, "Nothing." He said, "Why don't you give it to me?" That's when the teaching of exchange came. Exchanging. Why don't you just exchange that? You go to the store and exchange your clothes that you bought incorrectly. See, everything that happens is we bring on ourselves. Why? Because it's behind it is a choice of mistake. Didn't mean we did it on purpose. Amen. So many things we brought on ourselves. Sicknesses, whatever, things we ate. Hello? We can't blame the baker. We can't blame the devil. Although people try to, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You know what you're lacking? No, what we're lacking is what? God's presence. Yeah. Every addict is looking for God's presence. And when they finally find God's presence, they don't want the dope no more. They want to be smart. And I realize that it's the presence of God that they've been looking for their whole life. Therefore, cast all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Every one of us has, we got stuff that, you know, we're still trying to figure out. And you know, we don't have to figure it out. We got to follow him out. We don't have to understand everything. We got to trust everything. We are reaching a time and an era of exchange where more and more technology's coming, more and more deception's coming, more and more fear's coming, more and more disappointments are coming, more disasters are coming. It doesn't mean it's doom and gloom. It means glory for me and you. Why? Because light always shines in darkness. Amen? Hallelujah. What's it verse 8 say? Be what? Sober. Be a what? Alert. Be vigilant. Be consistent. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. Like a roaring lion. In other words, he can't touch you. He can only speak to you. Seeking whom he may what? What's he trying to do? Get you to agree with him. To touch and agree comes to pass. That works for the devil too. Because he knows the scriptures. Amen. So all of these things, resist them steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So you're not the only one going through it. Never let the enemy separate you and isolate you that you're the only one. Why doesn't everybody else have it? Everybody else has something. Everyone has a closet full of hurt, pain, suffering, guilt, regret, condemnation. Every one of us. Just don't take it out of the closet. Keep the door shut. That's a choice, isn't it? Amen. And don't open up and go look for it. I know it's in there somewhere. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. So when you're not feeling well, don't isolate. Get in God's presence. Does everybody get that? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 6:11, please. Let's speak it. Oh, Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own what? Affections or what? Emotions. Woohoo. Emotions. Now return for the same I speak to children. You also be open. Do not be what? Unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. What's he trying to do? Prevent us from getting attached emotionally. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? What part is a believer with an unbeliever? To me, it's almost like he's saying, how stupid can you be and still breathe? Why are you still doing this stuff? And what agreement has the temple of God, are we temples of God, with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell with them, I will walk among them, I'll be their God, and they'll be my people if they do what? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Affectional, emotional attachments. Affections are what? Emotional attachments. And we've talked about emotional attachments many times. There's three major ones that constantly we're battling from our past. Guilt, condemnation, and regret. Guilt, condemnation, and regret. They're all associated with wrong choices. They're all associated with what? Wrong choices, choices that we've made. He's saying, come out from the oppressiveness and the oppressive state of what if. What if? See, these things always bring us to a question. What if? What if I would have done this? What if I would have married this person? What if I would have got this job? What if? We must come out of what ifs. It doesn't matter what if. Yesterday's gone. Can't change it. Well, if I would have done this, things would have... How do you know? You God? No, we're not God. I'm not saying we don't have prophetic insight. Amen. But it's wrong choices that you and I have made in our life that has brought things and caused things to happen to us. Good and evil. Amen? Right choices bring right things. One of the things about all these are all associated with wrong choices. He says, come out from the oppressive states of what if. False reality, because that's what it brings to us. Because we all, this, what's that false reality? I can change my past. Many people believe they can change their past or fix their past. The past is always there, but it doesn't have to affect you. As you begin to, the more things you recognize, the better things are. Amen. Recognize them. That's why he says, be sober, be alert, be vigilant, be consistent. Why? So that we can recognize the things that the enemy's trying to trick us or lay traps for us. We have a hard enough time fighting our own selves. Your old man battles you every day. He loves the past. He wants to bring you to the past. Why? See, if you can get caught up in the past, you can't get the future. You'll stay stagnant. You won't be able to advance. Matthew 16, verse 23. Battling the past. Who's the battle really belong to? The Lord. Praise God. You just got to cooperate. Matthew 16, 23. Oh, glory. Anybody there yet? Jesus turned and said to Peter, get what? He didn't say get in front of me. He didn't say get on the side of me. He said get what? Behind me, representing get behind me, past. For you are an offense to me. So you're past. things of corruption are an offense to God. Amen? But the enemy wants to bring them up to the present. For you are not mindful of things of God, but you are mindful of things of what? Men. Man makes many mistakes. And your old man made many mistakes. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to make mistakes. But thank God we repent and put it under the blood. And sever them from us. Jesus said it. The past is trying to prevent the future. The corruptive things of the past is always trying to prevent your future of righteousness. We must disconnect from the past hindrances and connect to the future promises. That will establish you in the present. Amen? We disconnect from the past hindrances. We connect to the future promises. How do you connect to the future promises? By your mouth. Your confession. That's why we have daily prayers. That's why we speak. We decree. Disconnect from past hindrances. Connect to future promises. And that will establish us in the present. Somebody get that? See, when you're disconnected from the past, how about forgiveness? Look at how many people hold grudges and unforgiveness, bitterness. They're still connected to the past then. And that prevents that individual from getting the promises of the future. I'm not talking about losing salvation. Oh, God says if you can't forgive everybody, you ain't going to come home. But forgiveness is a major, major factor. Why? Because when you forgive someone, you activate the blood of Jesus. You're the one that's getting set free more. Amen. So you're disconnecting by forgiveness. I forgive and bless them, Lord. Boy, I said that to someone one day, and they wanted to kill me. First Samuel chapter 8. I forgive you and I bless you. I'm going to kill you. Nice. First Samuel 8, verse 6. Battling the past. Hallelujah. Now here, Israel wants a king. And they're rejecting God as king. They want a physical king. Now Samuel was a prophet then. In verse 6 it says, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. So they made a choice. They rejected God as king, and they wanted a physical king. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so that they are doing you also. Now therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He will also appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties, and will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. He will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. He will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men, and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servants. And you will cry out in that day because your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations. Wow. That our king may judge us and go out before us and fight for our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he repeated them in the hearing of the Lord. So the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice and make them a king. Samuel said to the men of Israel, every man go to his city. Wow. A request from people, not from God. Does anybody understand that? So, so many people, when God said he regretted something, God doesn't regret. He's perfect. Does everybody understand that? He is joyful. He has compassion. When he said, I'm sorry I made man, it's not because he was sorry he made man. It's because of sorry what man did. God is perfect. He does not regret. Amen. What did he do? Man made the choice. And so many times, men's choices, they blame it on God. Well, I waited for God and he didn't answer my prayer. I needed a car today, so I went and bought one for $6,000 a month. Now I'm in debt. Now I'm eating dog food instead of real food, you know? And I bark all day long. I mean, people get real goofy, you know? Genesis 19. Hallelujah. Battling the past. It's like a chuchihuahua that grabs your ankles, you know? Get them off. The disobedient ones. Hallelujah. Genesis 19:23, please. Woohoo! I think I'm in the right place. He's gone. Genesis 19:23. Okay, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. Are we there? The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew their cities, all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of what? She became a pillar of salt. Not very good, huh? Why did she become a pillar of salt? She was longing for the sinful past. Again, if we don't cut ourselves loose from the sinful past, those will hinder areas of your future. Does God forgive us? Yes. When you repent, you get forgiveness. But there are areas that he wants us specifically go back and open the door and empty the closet. Why? Because sometimes we've emptied them once, but they got refilled. And so many times people don't even know they got it refilled again. Because they weren't paying attention. They were distracted. Hallelujah. She was longing for a sinful past. She was hurting. She was grieving. She couldn't walk away from it. She had to turn back and say, "Oh, I miss you." 2 Corinthians 7, 9. Everybody okay? Second Corinthians 7:9. Second Corinthians 7, verse 9. Hallelujah. In verse 9, is everybody there now? You're not at 79, right? "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to" what? "Repentance. For you were made sorry in the godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death, just like Lot's wife." Oh, snap. "For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you. What clearing of yourselves. What indignation. What fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all these you were proved yourselves to be clear in this matter." Wow. Clearing the past. Amen. They cleared it. Why? Because they repented for it. Clearing the past. But again, it's important that we maintain that level and be diligent so that we don't allow anything to go back in that closet. We got to keep that closet empty. Now, there's times when God will say, "Don't open that closet. I'll tell you when to go there." Amen. When you thought, "Well, I've cleaned it out already, Lord." Well, you don't know what's in there now, do you? See, God sees what's behind that door. And sometimes we don't. And we filled that closet up again. And we become hoarders of sin and don't even know it. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 15, verse 10. First Samuel 15, verse 10. Is everybody there? "Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly" what? "Regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning, he met Saul. It was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. And he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal." Again, who chose Saul? Man. Not God. Man chose Saul, not God, because what God is what? Perfect and doesn't make the wrong choices. Man does. But God said to Saul, he regretted. Now, what did he regret? He doesn't regret. He had pity on man for choosing, making the wrong choice. Amen. Philippians 3:12. God is perfect. He doesn't make wrong choices. Because he's past, present, and future. He holds it all, knows it all. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Everybody there? Verse 12. Philip 3:12. Let's speak it. Not that I've already attained or I am already perfected, but I what? Press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself as have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind or this set of thoughts. If in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. Forget, forgive, and move forward. The past searches the past. The past searches the past to expose, not to promote. That's why we search the past. We are searching the past not to promote, but to expose. But the past will try to prevent your future. Things that we have done, people, places, and things. Amen. It's like somebody gets, two people sleep together and there's a child brought forth. They never get married, but there's child support. Amen. So there's that price to pay because of that mistake. It might have been a night pleasure, but then after that it was over with. People get divorced and they got payments to pay. All kinds of things. It's always going on. The past is, so that past is always there because it's there. Just by making that payment, holding that money still connects. So that's why we got to constantly sever these things. Whether it's a sickness that's been inherited, it's still something from the past that's been inherited to you or to me. You know, aging sucks. I mean, it really does. There ain't nothing about growing old that's good. You just know you're getting closer to going home. That's the good part. Although sometimes you want to go home right that day. But look at the pain and sufferings that if people, as you grow older, you can't do this, you can't do that. You need to depend on more people to help this, that, and can't see correctly, you got to have glasses all the time, whatever it is. But those are things that we've inherited. It's a curse that was brought down the family line. It's something we can't escape. But we can do our best to stay healthy. We can stay, the Bible tells us that, restore your youth. Amen? God restores your youth in his presence. As a man thinks, so he is. But we battle the past every day. Every time you look in the mirror, you go, oh, God. Another wrinkle. Man, where'd that gray hair come from? Man, look at that. I'm losing my hair. As you get older, you grow hair everywhere else except for your head. It's crazy. Is everybody okay? 1 Timothy chapter 6. Glory. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, please. Hallelujah. We there? Let's speak it. But you, O man of God or woman of God, flee these things and pursue what? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the what? Good fight of faith. Man, it's going to take faith to battle that pass every day. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potent and the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen and amen. And I'm going to close at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. We must fight the good fight of faith, fighting the past. It's going to take faith. 2 Corinthians 5. Hallelujah. Glory. Verse 16. 2 Corinthians 5, 16. Glory. Well, hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's make this confession. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In general. Amen. All things. But then there are specifics that we must go after. Believe me, because how many people have been saved and they didn't get changed instantly? There was a process of that change. Amen. Now, all things are of God. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And everybody said, amen, praise God. Keep the battle up. And don't let the mirror tell you what's what. Prepare your hearts for communion and repent. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we repent for allowing emotions to dictate choices. We repent for allowing the mirror to dictate choices. We repent for allowing doctors to dictate choices, medication to dictate choices, and even our friends and family to dictate choices. You know, the Lord rebuked Adam because he took heed of his wife. That was a relationship, for making the wrong choice. Amen. I'm not saying all wives make wrong choices. I'm not saying that. Everybody makes a wrong choice at some time. Amen.